And good afternoon. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon, live at 3 o'clock on KTOO-FM and repeating at 4 o'clock on KRNN, Arts and Culture for Alaska's Capital City. I'm Ben Brown. I'm your host today, Tuesday, the 8th of September, 2015, the day after Labor Day. We have some great guests today, an update on the Zach Gordon Youth Center from Jordan Nigro, a preview of the new Mudrooms season, Writer's Almanac, of course, Hoosier Diva, two divas, Hannah Stevens and Sophie Lager, Bird Note, and some educators to talk about the Summit STEM Charter School. That's all here on a Juno Afternoon this Tuesday, the 8th of September. Stay tuned for National Native News, and we'll be back with some great information about Juno.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Several First Nations in Canada have gone to court to fight the federal government over a new law that requires them to file their financial statements, salaries, and expenses. If they don't, they could face funding cuts. More from Dan Karpinchuk.
First Nations went to court to challenge the so-called Transparency Act, requiring them to make their finances public for anyone to see. The chiefs don't believe the Canadian government can force them to make those finances public. Bill Erasmus is the Dene National Chief. He says his main accountability is to his band members.
The monies that we're talking about are not public funds. They're not taxpayers' dollars, and you'll hear that in court. So this is why we're adamant that this relationship is between the federal government, ourselves, and our own citizens.
Some bands are refusing to comply, and time is running out for dozens of First Nations who have yet to get their paperwork into the government. The Minister of Aboriginal Affairs says the law makes financial information more accessible to all band members. He also says it leads to more effective, transparent, and accountable governance, as well as stronger, more self-sufficient, prosperous communities. But Native leaders have argued the law is about controlling those Aboriginal communities and breaches their Indigenous rights. The judge in the case has reserved his decision. As of September the 1st, more than a third of Canada's First Nations face having their funding cut off. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
The Environmental Protection Agency is proposing changes to the water quality standards for human health in Washington State. The state has spent several years deciding how to create its own standards. Chris Thomas reports.
At issue are two key components of water quality, the fish consumption rate and the cancer risk rate, because both influence the allowable amounts of toxic chemicals in water. The EPA and state both agreed that a higher fish consumption rate is necessary to accurately reflect a Northwestern diet, but they differ on an acceptable cancer risk rate. Tyson Johnston with the Quinault Indian Nation says the tribes have been backers of tougher standards all along.
It's more than an environmental and tribal issue. This really comes down to keeping people healthy. Really, at the end of the day, that should be the driving force, and keeping people alive and realistic about how much fish they consume every day.
The EPA is set to enter the proposal into the Federal Register and begin a public comment period on it this month, but the agency says it's still willing to consider new criteria from the state.
That was Chris Thomas reporting. Environmental advocate Erin Brockovich is expected to speak at three high schools during her visit today to the Navajo Nation. She's scheduled to talk in Shiprock, New Mexico, Montezuma Creek, Utah, and Kienta, Arizona. The events are open to the public and will be streamed online. Brockovich and Navajo Nation President Russell Begay are touring locations along the San Juan River impacted by the Gold King Mine waste spill. Begay says the tribe appreciates her willingness to visit the area to witness damage and help raise awareness. In a press release, Brockovich says she stands with the tribe and calls on the U.S. government to clean up the mess. Brockovich is well known for her help in the 1990s case in California involving polluted groundwater, which was told in the Hollywood film Erin Brockovich, starring Julia Roberts. The contamination spill caused by a government agency in August impacted Navajo farmers and livestock owners who rely on the river for water. Over the weekend, Cherokee Nation Principal Chief Bill John Baker delivered the State of the Nation address. He highlighted new roads, retail outlets, and the opening of a healthcare center. Hundreds of people gathered in Tahlequah, Oklahoma for the speech, which was part of the annual Cherokee National Holiday. Baker says future plans include job creation and a continued focus on healthcare, such as a new partnership with a medical school to recruit, train, and hire Cherokee doctors. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. And by the law firm of Sanofsky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
Support by the Hotel Cascada and ABQ Surf and Slide, New Mexico's only indoor water park, centrally located in Albuquerque. Native government group packages available with rates including breakfast and meeting space. Info at thehotelcascada.com under meetings.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And it is 6 minutes after the hour, precisely. Well, 6 minutes and a few seconds now. And it's a Juneau afternoon. Today's Tuesday, the 8th of September, 2015. I'm Ben Brown, and our first guests this afternoon are from the Zach Gordon Youth Center. I want to welcome Jordan Nigro and Donnie Burris here to a Juneau afternoon. How are you ladies doing today?
Great.
Good.
Excellent. We were just discussing how we'd all prefer to be outside. It's one of those days in the fall where, so if you can be outside and listen to this, well done for you. And, of course, the Zach Gordon Youth Center has an outside and an inside component to it, and there's probably some exciting things going on in both those spaces. So tell us about them.
Give you a little oversight of what's happening at Zach Gordon. Parks and Recreation is really working hard to be more involved in youth issues in Juneau and serve more kids. So we're doing that in a couple of ways to start out with. We have we're going to be running the BAM after school program in both the middle schools. That is now being run out of Parks and Rec. So that's part of the Zach Gordon family of programs now.
Is BAM an acronym for something?
BAM is an acronym. It stands for Body and Mind.
Because I knew it wasn't Brooklyn Academy of Music.
Yeah. And that program, you know, developed out of a group of volunteers who really felt like this was something that the community needed. And CCS was the parent organization for that program. And at last year, as the fiscal year was wrapping up, they came to the city and asked if we would take it over, and we thought, yeah, this seems like a perfect fit. So we're pretty excited to be doing that, and I think, you know, it's a great partnership with Zach Gordon.
And what is BAM about, Body and Mind about? So, and it started with Catholic Community Service, but it's been turned over now to you
at
Zach Gordon.
Yeah, so what we do, what BAM does is offers activities within the schools for kids after school. So it really uses existing resources. So we're not busing kids to different places. We're using the schools, which would normally not be used at that hour. And so it's a very lean operation. It really relies on a lot of volunteers to come in and teach classes, which is great. We've had a great turnout in the community with people willing to volunteer. Right now, the classes that are going on are outdoor discovery games, Safe Sitter, and Her Space. And both of those are going on at Floyd Dryden and DZ, and or at Zonta Kahini. And we are pretty excited about just growing that program more and more. So if you're interested, if you're listening to this and you're interested in teaching a class or volunteering for BAM, you can call Alan Truitt at 796-5811, or you can call me at Zach Gordon, which is 586-0456.
So that sounds like a really interesting program, Body and Mind. And the reason it's effective is the kids are already at school.
The kids are already at school.
They just stay there and there's some more activities for them after the end of the regular school day.
Yep.
Now, the three classes you just mentioned, outdoor
discovery games,
and the two others,
Safe Sitter and Her Space.
And who came up with those? Was it were the instructors themselves said, hey, I want to teach a class on this specific thing, and came to you with a proposed, I wouldn't call it a curriculum, but a lesson plan?
Yeah, kind of. You know, that's what happens is we did a lot of surveys early on. The program did a lot of surveys of kids to figure out what sort of things would be interesting and what kids want. And these were the kind of things that kids wanted. So Betsy Brenneman had been the coordinator for this program for the last few years. And she did a lot of work to connect with people in the community willing to offer things like this. So now at this point, you know, we have some things that are in place and we're just happy to add to it. So if you have an idea like, oh, I'd like to teach a cooking class, cooking is super popular. So if somebody wants to teach a cooking class, give us a call. We'll set it up.
You read my mind. I was just thinking cooking might be or yep. some sort of arts and crafts, something, some sort of
absolutely
not too complex. You know, it needs to be something that can be done in a junior high school classroom or not very
yep.
far away from one of the schools.
Not very far away.
Right.
Yep.
Oh, so folks, if you're interested in helping to teach a body and mind, a BAM after school class, definitely get in touch with Jordan yeah. Nigra, who's the manager at Zach Gordon, or Alan Truitt was
or
the other
Alan gentleman. Truitt, who is the program coordinator.
Very good. Yep. Now, you, Donnie, are the recreation coordinator at Zach Gordon.
Yes.
What kind of recreation have you been coordinating lately?
Well, we have a couple of events coming up really soon. Actually, we have a really big day of play, which is this Saturday, and that's from 11 to 1. We are the lunch stop. So you can come in and expect a free hot dog meal with a hot dog, chips, and a juice. And we also have the Juno Roller Girls come, and they do a demonstration in our covered basketball area. They come and they bring rollerblades, and the kids can come and try them on, and they get to learn how to skate and really have fun with those girls. We also will have music and balloons, and it's just a great day to come out and visit our facility for free. We also have some art classes coming up, and it's going to be called Art with Alex. And Alex, the instructor, is one of our Jesuit volunteers. And so that will be taking place beginning next Wednesday, and it'll be every other Wednesday at Zach Gordon Youth Center. And it's a drop-in activity, so you don't need to call ahead. You'll just come to Zach Gordon after school, and you can just sign up and participate in our art with Alex. And we do different things. They'll be building some art projects, painting. They'll be doing we have cooking, food art, where we use popcorn and macaronis and things like that. So we have a lot of other good things going on at Zach Gordon.
Absolutely. And so the Jesuit volunteers aren't actually Jesuits yet. They're young people who volunteer through the Society of Jesus, through the Catholic Order, to go out and work in all sorts of different communities across mm-hmm. Alaska and really across around the world, right?
Yes. And we love the Jesuit volunteers.
And so, yes, yeah, so Alex is visiting here from probably someplace kind of far away.
From Wisconsin.
Yes.
That's kind of far away.
Yeah.
But he's an artist.
She's,
excuse me, I'm sorry, it's Alex. I'm 50-50, I guess,
right? Yes, that's
right. And her class is called, so it'll be Art with Alex. That's going to start Wednesday the 16th is next Wednesday, a week
yes.
from tomorrow.
Yes.
And so, and that's a drop-in thing. It's after school at the Youth Center every
yes.
other Wednesday. And you don't have to go to all of them, but it's probably going to be more fun if you do.
Of course.
Yep. And then the Day of Play is coming up this Saturday, you said. And it's you said that you were the lunch stop. Is that
going? We are the lunch stop. So the city is doing that annual Day of Play. And what this is the city facilities around town will have a block of space where they're completely free. So the City Museum, they'll have something at Marine View Park,
mm-hmm.
something at both of the pools, and Zach Gordon, also the library. And they will also, there's a schedule out that you could probably get on the city's website.
Okay.
And it'll have the correct time slots, and it's all fun and games, and it's a really nice day for people to come out with their families and have a great time and really experience what Parks and Rec is all about.
Right, and see, all the different, you know, various facilities, programs are all going to kind of be on display that day, from the mm-hmm. libraries to the pool to the aquatic center, including Zach Gordon Youth Center. So that's the Day of Play. You could probably go to juno.org, and I would hazard to guess that in some not-too-hard-to-find location, there'll be a list of all the day's activities.
Yes.
And that's also sort of a drop-in thing. You don't need to pre-register for that.
You don't need to pre-register for that.
Show up and eat a hot dog.
And you don't even have to do everything on the Day of Play. Probably you can just go to some of the stuff that if you want to stay out in the valley or you want to drive all over the place, it's up to you.
Exactly.
Excellent. Well, so it sounds like there's a lot of things that Parks and Recreation has to offer Juno families. Is there anything else in addition to the Day of Play, these upcoming activities at the Zach Gordon Youth Center you ladies would like to share with our listeners?
Well, I would just add that we also, the Young Parent Healthy Teen Center has been run out of Zach Gordon by Catholic Community Services for 17 years, I believe. And as of July 1st, that program is also now being run by those of us at the Zach. So it's a Parks and Rec program now. It's still going on. If you know young parents that you feel like could use a little extra support, that's what we're there for. We can help link young parents to services in the community and just be a support network. We have next Monday, we have our first family Monday night family dinner where young parents can come with their kids and have dinner and just, you know, hang out and have the supports and have some role modeling of good parenting skills. And so we're pretty excited to be managing that program. And I think that's also an opportunity for if you're interested in volunteering or you want to be involved, give me a call. And Donnie and I can coordinate with you on, yeah.
And probably if parents were to go by this coming Saturday for the day of play, they might be able to find out more about next Monday night at that time as well.
Sure.
Great.
Of course.
Also, I would say follow us on Facebook. If you don't already, I have created a Facebook page. We just recently did that. So Zach Gordon Youth Center, we will be posting about different activities and things we have going on there. It's also the place to go for finding out what's going on with BAM or the Young Parent Healthy Center.
Excellent. Well, perfect. So it sounds like it's very easy, very accessible, very low barriers, if any at all, for people to enjoy the benefits that the Zach Gordon Youth Center has to offer them. So I want to thank you, Jordan Nigro, the manager, and Donnie Burris, the recreation coordinator from Zach Gordon Youth Center. To learn more about this, go to the city's website and find out about what's going on for the day of play, Art with Alex, and the other activities we've discussed. So I will let you get out into this lovely Juneau afternoon.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks,
thank
ladies.
You.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday, the 8th of September, 2015. It's the birthday of the short story writer Ann Beattie, born Washington, D.C., 1947. Ann Beattie, who said, "People forget years and remember moments." It's the birthday of the novelist Grace Metalius, born Manchester, New Hampshire, 1924. Wrote her first novel, Peyton Place, to help her husband pay the bills. It was on this day, 1920, the first transcontinental U.S. airmail service began, New York to San Francisco. The Wright brothers had tried to interest the government in buying their planes, 1905, for years, year after year. The government waited until 1909, finally got one. In 1911, the post office said it was interested in the airplane, and that fall, an aviator named Earl Ovington became the first U.S. airmail pilot. He took off in his monoplane from Garden City on Long Island with a bag full of letters and postcards. He flew 3 miles to Mineola on Long Island, and when he saw the signal from the postmaster on the ground, he dropped the bag of mail from the airplane. The bag exploded when it hit the ground, scattered mail everywhere. The post office sponsored more experimental flights, got some funding from Congress, the first airmail flight, 1918, New York to Washington, D.C. Response was lukewarm. People didn't really want to pay higher airmail postage. So the post office decided to offer transcontinental service, and they built airfields going straight west from New York, 15 of them, including Cleveland, Chicago, Omaha, Cheyenne, Salt Lake City, Reno, and San Francisco. The first flight on this day, 1920, carried about 100 letters. Pilots had to navigate by dead reckoning. They didn't have radios or any sort of navigational tools. So they flew only during the day. One of the young pilots flying the Chicago to St. Louis route was Charles Lindbergh, who twice encountered bad weather, had to bail out. The journey from New York to San Francisco was only 22 hours faster by airmail than by train. But it got faster in 1921, when the mail could be flown overnight. And then it got to the other coast 2 to 3 days faster, and it became more popular. And the success of the transcontinental airmail was what paved the way for commercial airlines, which followed many of the same routes designed for airmail pilots. Here's a poem for today by Diane Ackerman, School Prayer. In the name of the daybreak and the eyelids of morning and the wayfaring moon and the night when it departs, I swear, I will not dishonor my soul with hatred, but offer myself humbly as a guardian of nature, as a healer of misery, as a messenger of wonder, as an architect of peace. In the name of the sun and its mirrors and the day that embraces it, and the cloud veils drawn over it, and the uttermost night, and the male and the female, and the plants bursting with seed, and the crowning seasons of the firefly and the apple, I will honor all life, wherever and in whatever form it may dwell, on earth, my home, and in the mansions of the stars. School Prayer, a poem by Diane Ackerman from I Praise My Destroyer, published by Vintage Books and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by Lumosity, introducing a 10-minute fit test to challenge memory, attention, and problem-solving to calculate baseline scores. Learn more at lumosity.com. And by Progressive Insurance, working to make progress for more than 75 years. Produced by Joy Biles, assisted by Teresa Burgess. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
All right, it's 21 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juno Afternoon. Today's Tuesday, the 8th of September, 2015. And next we have guests who are going to talk about a great topic and one that may get you personally involved, hopefully. We're going to talk about mudrooms, the new season, and I have Tom Cosgrove, who's from the Mudrooms Storyboard, and Aura Landau from CIRC, the Southeast Regional Resource Center, and the Learning Connection. So, Aura and Tom, welcome to a Juno Afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And mudrooms, people know what it is. They've listened to them. Often on this show, when a guest sometimes doesn't show up on time, we replay old mudrooms. And so you create content for this very program, so I want to thank you for doing that, so I didn't have to blather on several times when I had space to fill earlier this year. But let's talk about this season of mudrooms.
Let me give you the wrap.
Okay.
All right, so mudrooms, it's seven people, seven stories, 7 minutes each. These are real people telling real stories. Members of the community, friends, family, talking about telling a story on a particular theme. And this is our fourth season, and I tell people it's truly a community builder because people come out there and they share these stories, and you learn incredible things about your friends and neighbors.
And each month, there's a very cohesive theme that each of the seven stories of 7 minutes duration is supposed to be about.
Okay, cohesive is a word I wouldn't necessarily use in this context. Yes, we have a theme, and it's loosely interpreted.
Okay.
So this month, it's the one that got away. And this would be probably a good time to plug the date and time.
Already. Absolutely.
Okay, so we're going to have a show tomorrow night. That's Wednesday at 7 p.m. at Northern Light United Church at 400 West 11th Street.
Okay, well, of course, if it's tomorrow night, then yes, Tom, it is a very good time to plug it. The day after tomorrow would be a horrible time to plug it. So you've got seven people lined up for tomorrow night, and they're going to each tell some sort of a seven-minute story that relates somehow to the one that got away. How do these people get recruited for this task?
A lot of different ways. We have a website out there, mudrooms.org. We have people that are at the show. They've never been there. They see it, and they're like, I want to get involved. But mostly it comes from board members asking people. Like yourself, who I know has a story about shenanigans, which happens to be our November theme.
Yes, okay, but we were skipping October there, right?
We got haunted, and that is...
Perfect.
Of course it could be ghosts, but what are you haunted by?
Okay.
We also have, coming up, we got Kindness of Strangers in December, and I'll be doing a story that night. Second Chances in January. In February, we have Romantic Entanglements of All Sorts. March in Uniform. Back in the Day in April, and in May, Whether or Not, as in rainy whether or not, and those are our themes.
Great. Now, the Storyboard is a local group. Did the Storyboard pick the themes?
Yes, we do. We get into a room and hammer it out, and everyone goes in with favorites, and everyone gets a little bit of what they want.
Right. Are you locked in like the conclave of cardinals until the white smoke comes out?
Yeah, you bet. You
excellent,
bet.
Excellent. So what is the role of the Learning Connection in CIRC, Aura, in the Mudrooms program?
Oh, we're very grateful for Mudrooms and for the Juno community and the excitement about Mudrooms. Mudrooms selects nonprofit recipients for the donations that people give at the door, that $7, and we're one of the recipients this year. We'll receive the money from the September through December Mudrooms. That'd be great. We offer a free personalized training and adult education in Juneau, and then employment services, so help getting ready for a new job, help with job skills to change types of sectors of jobs that you're in, and most of our programs are free. So what Mudrooms is going to do, and what all the wonderful people out there who are going to come to Mudrooms, because it's going to be raining tomorrow, what you're going to do is really help our students. You're going to help them with money to get to classes. You're going to help them with study materials. You're going to help them with food and nutrition to give them a full belly and a strong brain for when they're taking their tests and doing their classes.
And CERC doesn't just serve people in Southeast, right? It's an organization with some statewide presence, isn't it?
Right. CERC actually provides services to school districts around the state, and we do adult education, family learning programs, and job training in Southeast Alaska. We've got, like I said, adult education, so it's reading, writing skills. It's helping people pass their GED tests. We do education and career mapping for people. Anybody who wants it can come in and get that. We do job assistance for youth age 16 through 21. That's education support, career and job readiness, and internships. We do the same kind of thing for adults aged 55 and over. We have Juneau Construction Academy, which is free construction training and connection to employers and apprenticeships for those who are interested in the construction trades. And we do computer training in Juneau. That's, this month we've got classes in using your iPad or your mobile devices and then Excel. We do a different set of classes, computer classes, every month. And we also often offer open computer labs and help with people who are writing their resumes and finding jobs. And then we do ESL, English as a second language, driver's training, and then family literacy with homework club out in Grunum Park.
My 16-year-old just finished driver's training.
Ooh.
Excellent.
What a positive experience.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, so if people are interested in availing any of that panoply of services for people who are, you know, transitioning from high school out into the workforce or from one job to another or being underemployed or unemployed to being employed, how would they go about availing themselves of what CERC has to offer?
Sure. The easiest way to find us is just to search in Google or whatever search engine you want to use, Adult Education Juneau. Our website address is serrc.org/TLC. It's a bit of a mouthful. So search Adult Education Juneau. You can also call us, 586-5718.
And you have a kind of a drop-by facility where some of the classes are taught right next to the Marine View over near City Hall, correct?
We do, right. We're open downtown right across from the Marine Park there, and our hours starting next Monday are going to be 9 to noon and then 1 to 4:30, so you can come by anytime. We have teachers who work with individual people on an individual basis and really support, help you figure out what your goals are and then map the journey, how you're going to get there, and then give you the schedule. Okay, here are the classes, or here's who you need to talk to at some other place to, you know, help you get where you want to go, make your dreams come true.
Outstanding. Well, that's really quite a like I said, an array of services that can really, really be helpful. So if you listening right now or thinking about a new career move or just anything to improve yourself, there may be some really valuable services that CERC can help to offer. And I wanted to mention the drop-by because some people don't really feel like they can just get it off a computer. They want to come talk to somebody in person, and
yeah,
that's what you guys are there for.
Yeah, sometimes you don't even know what you want. We can help you figure it out.
Perfect. So back to Mudrooms, Tom. Very, very nice that one of the recipients of the donations collected at this year's series are going to go to underwrite the important work of the Learning Connection in CERC. Is there another group that will be benefiting from the second half of the season?
Yes. Up from February through May will be Meals on Wheels.
Okay.
And we have a show in January, a single show that will, the proceeds will be dedicated to a charity of some sort, and that has yet to be decided.
Okay.
And so one of the things I want to tell people is that people pay the tariff to come in, the cost is $7. All of that goes to charity.
Northern Light United Church is not charging you an arm and a leg for rent?
No, we're paying Northern Light United Church.
But it's their nonprofit rate,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, for the nonprofit rate, yeah. So we've got some expenses, basic expenses, cookies and posters, but all of that, we are an unorganization. We're no 401C, we've got no structure, there's nothing. The people that are the recipients, the charitable group, sit at the door, take the money, they give us the expense money, so we never touch the money.
Okay.
It's a beautiful thing.
That is a very good, very, very seamless way to handle the organization. And so it's an all-volunteer and somewhat informal storyboard that oversees the entire enterprise of Mudrooms, is what
That's
I'm guessing.
Correct.
So Everything's been kind of selected for this year except the participants. You've got dates, you've got themes, but you need people to tell these stories.
Boy, yes.
And so, again, what's the best way for someone who might be interested in talking about a shenanigan in his or her life or something like that, a romantic entanglement they want the whole world to know about? How would they sign up to do that?
Mudrooms.org.
Okay.
And out there you can send a note, or you can, if you know any of the board members, that's Alita Buss, Amanda Compton, Rich Moniak, Pat Roach, Tom Cosgrove, myself, and I am forgetting some Steve Suing, and we've actually added two new ones, and those are the ones I'm blanking on. So any of those folks can help you also.
Well, if you're listening, Tom, you can remind Tom next time you see him, or you can text him right now and let him know. But I'm sure that's enough people in a town of this size. Somebody knows somebody on that list you just listed. And anyone who doesn't know anyone can still go to mudrooms.org and find the dates and the themes there and then just zap you note and say, hey, I'm interested in doing this.
That's exactly right.
Okay. And when did, just real quickly, when did the recording of the mudrooms for potential rebroadcast start?
That actually started in the first season. We didn't capture, for sure at the start of the second season, some of the first season, and K2 has been, they were great enough to lend us the equipment. We recorded it. We used their facilities to cut the show, and then they broadcast it. So that's been going on for 2.5 years.
And that'll continue this year.
Absolutely.
Something to keep in mind as you're deciding what story you might want to share, because you really are sharing it with the whole world, not just the people in the room. Of course, you're doing it at a church, so at any rate. Any other information you folks would like to share about mudrooms or about the Learning Connection? Tom?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We've got several supporters. K2, we've got COPA. And so it's going to be tomorrow night, our first of the season, 7 p.m. at Northern Light United Church, 400 West 11th, and the theme is The One That Got Away.
Excellent. Anything else from you, Aura?
Well, we just look forward to seeing people down at our Learning Center and get in touch with us. We're really grateful to Mudrooms and supporters.
Excellent. Well, and of course, one more time, it is probably going to be raining tomorrow, so it's a perfect night to go inside. Unlike tonight, it'll be a perfect night to go inside and listen to 7 great stories about The One That Got Away. Aura Landau from CIRC and The Learning Connection, Tom Cosgrove from Mudrooms, thank you both very much, and have a great Juno afternoon.
Thank you.
Tell me a story of days gone by. I want to leave this life of mine. Nothing but sorrow and pain I find. Tell me a story of days gone by. Tell me of princes, jesters, and kings. Town fools, crown jewels, scepters and rings, goodies and little girls lost in the wood. Tell me of ashes, tell me of woe, tell me a story of days gone by. I want to see this life of mine. Nothing but sorrow and pain I find. Tell me a story of days gone by. Haunted treasure, lost under the wave, pity's hope, deep down in their cave, slithering serpents with venomous eyes. Tell me a story, or tell me a lie. Tell me a story of days gone by. I want to leave this life of mine. Nothing but sorrow and pain I find. Tell me a story of days.
support comes from the Copper Whale Inn, located in downtown Anchorage, near business and arts, activities and events, with breakfast served daily, the Copper Whale Inn. Reservations online at copperwhale.com.
This is Bird Note. Composers from Vivaldi to Beethoven have been inspired by birdsong, which brings up an intriguing question. In terms of structure, just how similar is birdsong to the music we create? Two recent studies offer contrasting answers. One analysis used nearly 250 song examples of the nightingale wren, a tropical American bird widely admired for its haunting song. The research found no consistent similarity between the structure of the nightingale wren's song and that of Western musical scales. But a parallel piece of research reached a very different conclusion. Analysis of slowed-down hermit thrush songs revealed that they had a harmonic structure that was similar to human music at least 70% of the time. These dissimilar results leave open the question of whether birds and humans share a biological predisposition toward particular musical structures. Though the beauty of a bird song is something that may always elude scientific explanation. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
Hey, it's about 36 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. Today's Tuesday, the 8th of September, 2015. You're listening to a Juno afternoon. And it is a lovely Juno afternoon outside. I have two divas here now to talk about what they're hoping to accomplish in the upcoming Who's Your Diva? Welcome Hannah Stevens and Sophie Lager to a Juno afternoon.
Thank you very much.
What's up?
Oh, well, it's diva time. It's diva 30, I guess.
Diva time.
And so you are two of the divas, but let's not presume that our listeners know anything. Let's start from the very beginning, like Fraulein.
That's a very good place to start.
So what is Who's Your Diva, and how did you get involved? We'll go with you first.
Okay. Who's Your Diva is Juno Lyric Opera's annual fundraiser. It's kind of like a really fun night at the Jack. You come out, you're going to listen to 9 locals performing, local women, and we're going to be having a sing-off. It'll be excellent.
And so in prior years, I was a co-MC a few years ago of Who's Your Diva. Each diva has a couple of prepared numbers. And is that the same format this year? Is that that leads to the sing-off? So it's competitive performance, basically.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Yeah, we each have 2 songs, 1 in each set, so it'll be broken into 2 sets.
So it's exciting live music, and there's a really great band you were mentioning before we came on the air.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good combination.
And Hannah?
Yes. So the band is comprised of Luke Weld, a Ben, whose last name I forgot.
Not me.
Dale. Ben, Dale, and Michael, and Luke is, the Pied Piper.
Dale McFarlane.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Dale McFarlane, yes.
That's right.
Thank
Only
you.
One Dale. Speaking of great shows at Perseverance, he's mm-hmm. he's quite a musician.
He also did.
So they're very talented. Yes.
So good. So really good band, really good live music, and really great divas. What have you, and this is your first year both of you for being a diva.
Yes.
Because there are no repeat divas.
It is.
You'd get to diva once, so this is your day in the sun.
There have been. Actually, Callie Connerton is a repeat diva.
Oh,
well,
of course.
Little scoundrel.
And Kit, I believe.
That's
and
right,
Kit.
Alaska Kit. Yes. So, but you really have to work it. That's the exception to the rule.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For the most part, this is your one and only chance to be a diva.
Correct.
So how is it going? Hannah, tell me, have you been rehearsing a lot? Have you been losing sleep? Have you been, what have you been doing to prepare for your...
So much sleep has been lost as a mother and as a diva.
Right.
So we've had a few rehearsals, one just basic rehearsal and then one with a band. So we're gearing up for sure, and it's only 11 days out. So we're getting really close.
Okay, well, so
today's the fundraising
the
is happening right now.
And the event is on the 19th,
mm-hmm.
which is a Saturday.
Yes.
And it's at the Jack. And if people want tickets, we were talking about this a moment ago as well. How many tickets were left last time you checked?
There are only 22 tickets left.
That's not very many, is it?
If you're interested, go online immediately, right now. Go to JunoOpera.org to purchase a ticket. And they're going like hotcakes.
And is it table-style seating or is it auditorium-style seating over at the Jack?
At this point, I think it's just general admission that's left. Okay. We were selling 10 top tables, and they're gone.
They went ages ago. Because there is a little bit of food, and there's some drink service, I think, as well. So it's really fun at night. People do get dressed up. They go and have a great time. What do you think is going to be kind of – well, we were talking also about this year's MCs, and we had to wrench this information out of the staff at Juno Lyric Opera. They didn't want to tell us.
It was a super secret, right?
It was a super secret, but now I can reveal that it's going to be none other than Erika Lee and Salisa Thole are going to be the co-MCs, the mistresses of ceremonies for this year's Who's Your Diva.
Whoop, whoop.
Anyone who knows Erika and Salisa knows that they are brilliantly talented actresses and vocalists, and they're just full of energy, and they're going to make it a crazy, crazy fun night. I wish I were going to be in town because I think it's going to be an evening not to be missed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned earlier on, Sophie, that it's a fundraiser. How does that work? Because I know Juno Lyric Opera needs the money, but if people want to support Juno Lyric Opera, or even more directly, if they want to support their favorite specific diva, how do they do that?
You donate in the name of your specific diva of choice. So whichever diva raises the most money for Juno Lyric Opera will be your reigning queen. Pick me, Juno.
Pick me.
And those donations can be made easily online at what website?
The JunoLyricOpera.org.
JunoOpera.org. There's a list of all the divas with their beautiful faces and bios, and you can just click on Cast Your Vote and make a donation.
And unlike the 22 tickets, if there's even that many left, it could be 21 or 20 or 19 by now.
Mm-hmm.
People are probably furiously typewriting in their ticket orders. The opportunity to support divas does not end at any specific amount. There's too much money could not be raised in the support of divas in Juno Lyric Opera.
That is absolutely correct, Juno. Make it rain.
All right. So it's a great opportunity to have a great time, to see some wonderful local talent, to support a wonderful organization. And Frances Leach, the executive director of Juno Lyric Opera, was actually on a few weeks ago talking about the many exciting things coming up this season. This is just the first one. So go to JunoOpera.org, not only to support your favorite diva, but to learn more about what the season holds from this great organization.
Absolutely. Yes.
Perfect. Well, so in the remaining 11 days, between now and when the actual Diva event happens on Saturday, the 19th. And what time will that start?
Six.
You
want to get there at 6. Yeah, to get a good seat, get some tapas, maybe order some drinks. Mm-hmm. But then the show starts at 7.
At 7 o'clock. And between now and then, how are you divas going to be continuing to prepare yourselves for the evening of divadom?
I'm going to continue annoying my husband by rapping around the house all the time because this will be my first public rapping experience.
Okay, that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's just been in the car before this, I'm a little nervous.
Okay, and how about you, Hannah?
Oh, lots and lots of rehearsing, singing all day and night in my home, in my shower, in my car. Probably annoying my family.
Well, the little guy you've got with you here, he doesn't seem to mind at all.
No, he loves it.
Excellent.
It's his favorite.
Excellent. So Who's Your Diva? Saturday the 19th of September. Doors open at 6. Show starts at 7. It's a fundraiser for Juno Lyric Opera at the Juno Arts and Culture Center. Less than 20 tickets left probably by this point, but unlimited opportunities to support Sophie Lager, Hannah Stevens, both of them, all the divas. It's a win-win proposition, and again, go to JunoOpera.org for more information.
Yes, and we're also selling ads still, so if there's some businesses that are like, we want to get in on that ad space inside of the program, we're selling those.
And you can sell those as individual divas.
Yes, and those also count as votes towards us.
So if is the ad sale process as easy as just a straight-out contribution?
I don't know if they can do it on the website, but we are individually selling them, so if they contact us.
Come to us.
And what's the direct contact information for you, Sophie?
For me, it is 957-0421. You can call me or text me, and I will respond right away.
And for you, Hannah?
And for me, Hannah, it's 723-3627.
Okay. So buy an ad or go online and make a donation in support of your favorite diva. Buy a ticket if you can. And otherwise, look forward to a great evening in support of opera in Juno at Who's Your Diva on Saturday the 19th. Anything else, ladies, before you go back out into this lovely Juno afternoon?
Oh, we're just so excited. And we are excited, but we need Juno's support. So all of you listening, come on board. Go online to JunoOpera.org. Make your donation. Cast your vote for Sophie or myself, and we hope to see you there.
Yeah, and this is what helps Juno Lyric Opera run. So they offer all those cool courses, really great community events, and we need them here.
Absolutely. Very good. Thank you so much, Sophie Lager, Hannah Stevens. Best of luck at being all the divas that I know you can both be.
Woohoo!
call him Mr. Moonshine. We call him Good Time Johnny. He'll get you flying higher than anybody. Lord, you just can't beat it. And it sure is delicious. Go on and take a swim. Come on and get with it. Well, I've been washed in the light of the moon, and I'll be shining all through and through. Yeah, because the Good Time and Mr. Moonshine, oh, I've been cleansed from my worried mind. Oh, Mr. Moonshine, call him Good Time Johnny. He'll get you flying high, higher than anybody. Lord, you just can't beat it, and it sure is delicious. Go on and take a swim. Come on and get with it. Move a muscle. I feel the wind blowing. Yeah, listen to the rustle. All down by the river, you see all the little bubbles. But up on the banks, I'm a drowning, I'm a trouble. So, Mr. Moonshine, we call him Good Time Johnny. He'll get you flying high, higher than anybody. Lord, you just can't beat it. And it sure is delicious. Go on and take a swim. Come on and get with it.
Saturday, September 12th, is the 6th annual Day of Play. City and Borough of Juneau Parks and Recreation and friends would like to invite you for a fun-filled day of activities throughout the city. Participate in open swims, drawing with chalk, hands-on play, basketball, storytelling, ice skating, a hot dog lunch, and more. Call 586-5226 or visit juneau.org/parkrec for more information.
And it is about 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Ben Brown. Today is Tuesday, the 8th of September. And I now have Marty Dean and Maddie Sobolev-Levy here on behalf of the proposal to open an Elementary Summit STEM charter school focusing on science, technology, engineering, math, and place-based education here in Juno. So Marty and Maddie, welcome to a Juno Afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
So tell us, tell listeners what this proposal is, how far along it is, and if they're interested, how they might get involved. Marty, we'll start with you.
Okay. So STEM is acronym for Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math. And we are a group of
local Juno educators and parents and other interested community members who are proposing to open a K through 5 charter school and with possible preschool the first year if we can get funding and space available. We're working with the Juno School District to get a possible valley location in our existing elementary school.
So how many charter schools currently exist in the City and Borough of Juno School District?
There's one, I believe.
Okay. And so there's just one downtown. Maddie?
There's the one charter school and then the two optional programs. There's sort of a difference between the optional programs, like the Tlingit Culture Program and the
Montessori
program.
But a charter school would be like Montessori in the sense that that would be where kids would go to school. They would not go anywhere else. Their entire school existence would be in the confines of this K through 5 STEM school. So you're both educators. What is it that drives your interest in STEM education for young people?
Well, I'll go ahead. I'm actually not an educator. I am an attorney by trade.
Oh, okay. well, you know, that. So am I, and there's nothing wrong with that, Maddie. It's actually perfectly acceptable to be an attorney by trade.
I'm involved in this project more as a parent and a local community member who is certainly interested in promoting science, technology, engineering, math, and successful local indigenous knowledge and those sorts of programs. You know, the future for jobs for a lot of folks. There are so many STEM jobs that are available. They pay more, and STEM jobs create more jobs. So I think long term, it's a really wonderful program.
And is it a difficult? I'm going to guess it's not that easy, because I thought there were more charter schools. I really didn't know. I'm not a parent, and I haven't been in school for a long time myself. Is it a difficult process to get one established? I mean, are there a lot of steps that one has to take?
There are quite a few, but we've been working closely with the district administration and others we've been working for over a year and a half now, getting the process started. So, yeah, I've learned a lot, and our whole team has learned a lot, but the district is really, really help partnering with us.
And one of the things you mentioned a moment ago was the need to acquire space, because this is actually a bricks and mortar project to the extent that, I mean, people are going to need classrooms to go to. So what's the potential, if you can talk about that, what's the potential for where it might be housed, and how big would it be? How many students might it accommodate?
Sure. Our proposal calls for about 80 students in the beginning, and we're looking at a Mendenhall Valley elementary school, and again, working with the district administration, hopeful that they'll be able to provide space if that proposal passes.
And then how does the faculty staffing end of it work? Are the teachers at the charter school still district employees?
Yes, that's correct.
And do they volunteer because they're interested in going to teach at this new type of program?
They, I'll go ahead and answer for Marty here. The teachers who have been involved in this project have put in an immense amount of time on a volunteer basis. I think it's more like 2 years that you've been working on it, Marty, and the paperwork that I've been reviewing for the last several months with curriculum development and resources that they've reviewed and drawn upon are really extensive.
So there will be no need for a recruitment process. There's going to be a roster of teachers ready to do this if the project is green-lighted by the school district.
Yes.
And that will all be pre-approved by the district, and those teachers will segue seamlessly into place at the new charter school. And so are you hoping to open as early as next year?
Yes, next year is the goal.
Fall of 2016. And what sort of outreach have you been able to do to ascertain? I mean, you're a volunteer parent, Maddie. There have got to be a lot of other parents who are ready, able, and willing to have their kids go to this school if it comes into existence.
Absolutely. And the folks with the charter school have been doing outreach to a number of community stakeholders, maybe is the word, looking at Head Start programs, looking at child care assistance programs, looking at different sort of, I think there's been some meetings with Catholic Community Services, folks who really work with a lot of people who have young children who are elementary aged. So there's been a lot of local coordination here.
And so once again, much like the faculty, there's going to be plenty of people out there who are ready and willing to populate the school with students if you're able to get there. So what steps remain to be done if folks who are listening and are not aware of this are interested in perhaps having their children participate in this kind of education? How might they get involved and join the efforts that you and your colleagues have had so far?
Sure. Tuesday the 15th, the school board will be considering our proposal and then most likely voting on it. And then if it goes forward after that, we'll be holding most likely some informational meetings public-wide. And then we partner with the district to spread the word. It still does have to get passed by the state board of education after the local school board passes it, and that wouldn't be most likely till March. And then recruiting will begin in earnest after that.
Are there STEM grammar charter schools and other elementary schools in other communities across Alaska?
Not in the state, no.
Oh, wow. So this would be the first. The capital C would have the first STEM charter school in the state.
It would.
Well, that's very exciting, and I want to applaud you both for making sure that Juno is being at the forefront of providing a quality public education to young people here in the capital city. And it sounds very exciting, and I think what you said, Maddie, about the multiplier effect of creating people that are skilled in these areas of technology, science, engineering, math. I said them out of order, I know. Sorry, messing up the acronym. But those four things are the scientists, the engineers, the hands-on problem solvers of tomorrow, you know, who are going to help come up with renewable energy and ways to make it affordable and integratable into our life, and other technological challenges that have to be solved to exist in this point in history.
And I would add that, you know, that there's a focus on the STEM subject, science, technology, et cetera, but the academic goals of an elementary education of, you know, getting great skills for reading and math and literacy, those are all a vital part of the program and a vital part of setting people up to succeed in those kind of careers. If you don't have your basic math in elementary school, you're not headed on to be an engineer.
And if you can't read and write, yeah, I mean, no pressure. The kids are not going to be, you know, sat down at a Hadron Collider or anything just right immediately out of the gate. They won't be mixing chemicals just, you know, in kindergarten. But they're going to be given access to some of those science and technology things in that elementary education context that'll probably light some fires in their little minds for later on.
Definitely. And we definitely want to integrate local culture and ways of knowing and get kids out in the field with scientists and do real-life project-based learning. That's a big part of our goal.
Excellent. Well, so Marty Dean, Maddie Soboloff-Levy here on behalf of the Summit STEM Charter School Ad Hoc Working Group who are trying to make this happen here in Juneau. Anything else you'd like to share? The school board will take up the proposal next Tuesday evening, the 15th, at its regularly scheduled meeting, which is at what time?
6 o'clock at Thunder Mountain.
6 o'clock at Thunder Mountain High School. That's the Juneau School Board. So if you're interested in this, if you like the idea, tell your school board member before the meeting next week, and certainly go and watch the public meeting at which they'll consider the proposal.
Yeah.
Any other items of information, words of wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners on a Juneau afternoon, Marty or Maddie?
Just thanks. Thanks for everyone's support so far, and we welcome your questions.
Excellent. Okay, and if folks want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Well, I'd say the best way would be waiting until after the 15th.
Okay.
If the school board does pass a proposal, then we'll be spreading, again, more information through the local media.
Excellent. Okay, well, thank you again, Marty and Maddie. Best wishes. Go out and enjoy the remainder of this sunny Juneau afternoon, and best of luck in getting the Summit STEM Charter School open here in the capital city.
Thank you, Ben.
Very much.
Karpura Goram Karunavataram Sansarasharam Bhujagendraharam Sadavasantam Hridayaravinde Bhava.
And it's about 2 minutes before the hour. You are listening to just the last few moments of a Juneau afternoon this Tuesday, the 8th of September. I'm Ben Brown. Thanks so much for listening, and to our guests for coming on and sharing the information about things going on here in the capital city. The weather forecast for the remainder of the day is for decreasing clouds with a high around 59 degrees and some light winds. Tonight it'll be partly cloudy with patchy fog late, low around 45, light winds. And tomorrow the forecast is for increasing clouds and a chance of rain. And then it looks like rain heavy at times going into the week. Stay tuned for All Things Considered on KTOO-FM, and enjoy the rest of this lovely Juneau afternoon.
Namah Shivaya, Namah Shivaya, Om Namah.
This is KTOO Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas.
We also rebroadcast on translators K276AF in the Mendenhall Valley and Auk Bay, K269AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creeks, K210AM in Gustavus, K220BT in Hoonah, and K210AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juneau, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you.